Let's pray. We got to get to the Word. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing in and through your church, God. We thank you for your kingdom that's coming right here, right now in our community. And we are just so grateful because you are worthy, God. You're worthy of the light pushing back the darkness. You're worthy of people hearing your name, God. You are worthy. And so we come now with our hearts wide open, our minds clear, and ready to hear your word because we're ready to grow in you. You're good. You're great. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to do something a little different. I usually don't do this, but I'd like everybody to stand up for this opening passage of Scripture. In Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 8, God's Word says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God is big. God is so big, and we get to spend the rest of our lives. Stay standing. I'm going to let you sit here in about 15 minutes. We get to spend the rest of our lives, but not only the rest of our lives on this earth. We get to spend the rest of eternity being wowed by God. I mean, we're going to be 1,000 years from now walking around the corner of some majestic building made out of gold and go, bam! I just saw God in a way I've never seen Him before. I'm blown away. He's so other than. He's so big. He is so holy. And we get to do that even now. We can spend every day of our lives being wowed, bam, by the bigness, the holiness of God. And you can do it as you're seated also. You may be seated. This is exciting stuff. We're not going to wait around. We're not going to waste time. We're going to go after the bigness of God. Are you ready to keep doing that? We're in a series called Make God Big Again. Make God Big Again. And as we dive into another serious attribute of God, we're going to be looking at one of His attributes that we have to embrace. We have to understand this attribute. We have to embrace this attribute. If you want a relationship with the living God, you've got to say yes to this next attribute of God. You've got to make Him great and big again in this area. And that is, God is holy. We're going to be talking about the holiness of God this morning. And we're going to make Him holy again in our lives. A.W. Tozer has this to say about God's holiness. He says, God is holy with an absolute holiness that knows no degrees. An absolute holiness. Before we press on in talking about holiness, let's just talk about what is holiness. What is this holiness thing? A lot of people have different impressions and ideas about holiness, and I want to make sure we keep it simple and we're all on the same page with this as we move forward. What is holiness? God's Word defines holiness as being set apart. Holiness is being set apart. It says in Exodus 15, verse 11, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders." Back in Exodus 3, it records the Lord saying to Moses, "I am that I am." I am that I am, meaning that there is no one like God. He is God. There is no other. There's no one like Him. There's nothing else that is God, that ever will be God. God is set apart from everything else. He is God, and there is no other. God is holy. He's holy. And so this morning we're going to explore 3 degrees of holiness. 3 degrees of holiness. It's all going to begin with this truth. God is holy. That's the first degree of holiness we're going to talk about. God is holy. We're going to check out what the prophet Isaiah says. He paints this stunning picture of God's holiness in Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 1. Open up in your Bibles. Check this out. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. How many of you want some of that? Come on. Every hand, let's go up. He saw the Lord. Isaiah saw him. And he said, I saw him seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another. Check this out. You want to say it with me? You can say it. We can say it together. What were they saying? They were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, Isaiah says, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. That's a heavy passage. It's an exciting passage, but it's a heavy passage because it's displaying the holiness of God. I mean, think about this, Isaiah. I mean, he was a great man, probably the most holy, religious, close to God person that was walking the earth at that time. Yet, when this super spiritual guy saw God in all of his holiness, Isaiah was rocked to the core. I mean, he couldn't stand. He couldn't handle it. He was rocked to the core. He says that he felt ruined in looking at God, that he felt unclean and unworthy and even dirty. Have you ever encountered God in this way? Like Isaiah did. I have. Now, I'm not saying that I've seen Him with my physical eyes, face to face in that way. But I've encountered God in a way that caused me to be blown away, that rocked me at the core. It's happened to me several times in the place of prayer. When I'm in there worshiping the Lord and I'm praying and I'm sitting before Him, and all of a sudden, boom, it's like God opens up heaven and just pours out His presence and the reality of who He is. And it's so big, it's so great that I can't stand it anymore, and I just start weeping. I mean, I start bawling and I start weeping and I fall to the ground and I can't believe it. God is so big. He's so holy and I'm so unclean and I'm so unworthy, but He loves me and He reaches out to me and He picks me up again and again and again, and He lets me sit with Him and He lets me talk. He lets me even say His name. That ruins me when I come to that place of seeing how big God is. When that hits me, rocks me to the core. Rocks me to the core. I lose it. He's so big. He's so perfect. So holy. But He loves me. He cares for me. That's heavy stuff. That's big. That's God. See, God's holiness is unsurpassed. Everything else is made small in the presence of a holy God. Everything else is made small. That's a good thing. Everything else looks and feels unclean, unworthy, and feels small, including ourselves, in the presence of a holy God. We need to get back to that place sometimes. We need to see how big God is, how small we are. Start to wrestle with that transaction. And when you do, man, your spirit is going to be filled with so much thanksgiving. The big God of the universe keeps reaching out to you and loving you, showing you mercy, extending His long arm of love. That's unbelievable. God is holy. He is other than. He is set apart. God is God and there is no other. And so that's the first degree of holiness that we're talking about this morning. That God is holy. But check out this incredible truth. The second degree of holiness we're looking at today is that God created us to be holy. God is holy, but He created you and me, formed us in our mother's womb, created us to be holy. He created us in His image. He created us to be in relationship with Him. He separated us. He set us apart from all the rest of creation. There is nothing else created by God that was created to be set apart for relationship with Him. We're the only thing, the only people, not even the angels, are set apart to be holy as He is holy. Just us. Us. I know you don't feel like you're that special, but you are. You were created, set apart for relationship with the living God. That's big, man. That is so good. He created us to be holy because He's holy. And I want to take it back. I want to ask Bus and EJ to come on up, right up on stage. I just did this last minute during the meet and greet. They don't even know what's about to hit them. But they are so full of faith, and they love me so much. They trust me that they're coming up here right now. Okay, right now, this is who's walking on stage. We got Adam and Eve right here. This is Adam and Eve, right? And we're going way back right now. We're going way back. Come on over here. I need you with me. I need you with me. We're going way back. So God created you. And He created you for relationship. He set you apart from all the other things that He created for relationship with Him. So what did you get to do? I'm going to play God. I'm just playing Him right now. Right? All right. So that's all I'm saying. What did you get to do? You got to walk with Him. Like this. Come on. They were like walking. They were created. The only thing created that was created to do this with God. To walk with God. It says in the cool of the day, because God loves us so much that He makes things cool for us. All right. So they're walking along and they're talking and God's saying, man, y'all are so beautiful. And man, I'm just so pleased with you. It's great. You're finally being fruitful and multiplying and having children. And I'm just so excited about all of this. I mean, the only thing in all creation that was created to do this, to walk with God. I mean, He would do this, I think, sometimes. Oh, I love y'all so much. Oh, I love you. Oh, man, you're beautiful. We aren't going to talk about the naked and unashamed thing. That's for another sermon, another place. But anyway, thank you so much. So they walked with God. They were created, set apart for this. I'm going to let them get down before I say the next thing. By the way, Adam, did you have fun naming all the animals? I'm still laughing about that aardvark one that you did. Like two A's at the beginning, that was creative. That was really good. Yeah, nice job. You know, I love that. I created you to be creative. That's great. That's great. Adam and Eve set apart to be in special relationship with God, but sin entered the picture. And everything changed. Separation occurred because man sinned against the holiness of God. That's what happened. And instead of man being separated unto God, man became separated from God. That's what happened. We were created to be separated unto God, but sin separated us from God. Ripped us apart. That beautiful relationship. Holiness and unholiness. They don't mix. It's like oil and water, and I forgot my oil and water jugs. I was going to bring them and just do a little science experiment and show you, but I think most of you in here have seen that. And you can pour water in a glass, and you can pour oil and think they're just going to mix and create some really cool substance, but that's not what happens. The oil floats to the top. It won't integrate with the water. It won't come together with the water. It won't become one with the water. They are separated, and that's what's happened to us because holiness and unholiness, they don't go together like Shamalama Ding Dong, if you remember that old song from way back in the day. They don't go together. Everyone in the room, even the older folks, are looking at me like, what is wrong with that guy? I don't know. It just came out. Not in my note. It just came out. Anyway. The oil pushes away. It can't integrate. It's separated. So to this day, sin keeps us from knowing God, really knowing Him. Sin keeps us from experiencing God, from communing with God. Keeps us from walking with Him, from talking with Him, from enjoying Him, from hearing His voice, from getting to look upon His beautiful face. Sin separates us, keeps us from those early morning cool walks with the living God. It does. But the separation isn't God's desire. God desires relationship with us. He longs for the good old days that we just looked at up here with Adam and Eve. He longs for those good old days, those walks in the cool of the day. That's God's heart. That's what He longs for with you right now. Separated unto Him, not separated from Him. Do you hear the heart of God in all of this? And this is why God's Word cries out to us and says, as it says in 1 Peter 1:6, be holy because I'm holy. He doesn't say that so you'll jump through a bunch of hoops and He can watch you and say, look at my kid. They'll do whatever I say. No questions asked. They're obedient little children. Ha! That's not why God says, be holy because I am holy. God says, be holy because I am holy, because He is longing for the restoration of that relationship that's tight, where we are walking with Him in that closeness. That's the heart of God for you. He created you for that. That's why He calls us into holiness. Your Heavenly Father wants you back. He wants all of you back. He wants you back. I once heard about a man who worked with children who lived in sewers, somewhere in South America, is what I read. And he used to go into the sewers himself to try and help the children who were living there. Imagine you've been one of those children, virtually blind from living in darkness, underground, filthy, because you're living in the waste from thousands of homes. Yet this man, he offers you a chance to leave, to come out of that darkness, to come out of that filth. You jump at the opportunity. But as he leads you out of the sewer, as your eyes become accustomed to the light at the end of the tunnel, you start seeing the state that you're in, just how dirty and messy and stinky you really are. You see the excrement on your clothes, in your hair, and no matter how hard you try, you can't get it off. You can't get it out. It's still there. And so the closer you get to the light at the end of the tunnel, what happens? The dirtier you appear. And so what does the enemy do? He starts to whisper in your ear, look at yourself. You can't go out there. Look at how dirty you are. You better go back into that dark place. That's what the enemy says. But that man, he's going after you. He's getting down into the filth. Sound like anybody you know? Maybe Jesus stepped down from His perfect place at the right hand of the Father to come to this earth that had become unholy because of sin, become dirty and dark. Yet He left that place of perfect light and holiness to come and to pull us out. And what happens? As He comes and He grabs us and He begins to pull us out of darkness, and that enemy starts to say, you're too dirty. You're too dirty to receive this kind of gift. You can't go to that place of light. Not where you've been all of your life. And the enemy fights and tries to keep us separated from God, as Jesus has come to separate us unto Him again, that we're separated to Him once again. That's going on right now, all around us. Maybe in your life right now. Maybe in your family. I know what's going around in our neighborhoods right now. Jesus coming to rescue people out of the sewer. And the enemy saying, you're not worthy. Stay in the darkness. You're too dirty. Too dirty. But God comes after us. Even in our brokenness and filthiness, Jesus entered the sewer for us, because He didn't create us to live in darkness. He didn't create us to live in filth. He created us to be set apart, to live with Him, to walk with Him, to enjoy Him, to look upon His beauty, to go where He goes, to see what He sees, to be part of His great kingdom and His family now and forever, to behold His beauty. It's pretty special. It's very special. I want to encourage you, let the Lord pull you out of darkness. You know, maybe you've come out, but there's still an area of your life, there's still some darkness that you just haven't allowed God to pull you out of yet. He's big. He's good. He's come after you. Let Him pull you out of that place. Maybe there's something that's still on you, some kind of filth that's still on you. And you've just got accustomed. Well, that's just how I am. I just got this dirty stuff in my hair or on my shoulder or over here. It just is what it is. It just didn't come off easily. And so I'm just going to have to live with that little bit of filth the rest of my life. No, let Him fully clean you off. Let Him fully have His way with you. Let Him fully separate you unto Himself. You were created for that. And Jesus left heaven on that mission and went all the way to make that happen for you. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. We weren't made for the sewer. We were made for the light. You weren't made for the sewer. You were made for the light. We were made for holiness. We were made to be set apart unto the Holy God, to walk with Him in the cool of the day, enjoying His presence. So let's dive into the third degree of holiness now. We've seen God is holy. We've seen that God created us to be holy. And this third degree keeps it going, keeps the holiness train rolling right here. And that is this, that God invites us to pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. God invites us to emerge from that pit, from that sewer, to come out of the darkness, carried by His amazing grace. It's not our own strength. It's not our own effort. We just allow Him to pull us out. It's His grace that's pulling us out of the darkness into the light. It's not our own efforts. It's not us cleaning us up. It's us allowing Him to do His wonderful, beautiful cleansing work in us, on us, and through us. God invites us to let Him do that. To let Him finish that work that He's already started in each one of us. He invites us to grab hold of that which He has grabbed hold of for us, as it says in Philippians 3:12. He invites us to grab hold of holiness, to be set apart unto Him now and forever. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And check this out. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I highlighted, I bolded, I made capital letters the word see. Without holiness, without having ourselves and allowing ourselves to be set apart unto God, without holiness, we won't see Him. And I know everybody in this room wants to see God. You want to see God in your lives. You want to see God in your family, in your children. You want to see God in your finances. You want to see God in your thought life. You want to see God in our community. You want to actually just see God. Amen. In His goodness, in His beauty. You want to hear His voice. You want that. That's why you're here today. We all want that. But look at what the key is to enter that place of seeing God. The key to that room is holiness. Pursuing holiness, cooperating with God's call and our purpose to be set apart to Him. I believe that the degree to which we pursue and cooperate with God's holiness is the degree to which we will encounter God's presence. It is. I don't know if you're this way, but I don't like hanging out with people who don't really want to hang out with me. It's just no fun. It's no fun. There's no joy in that. It's like you don't want to force somebody to hang out with you, right? And so the pursuit of holiness, the setting ourselves apart for Him, is our way of showing. It's an indicator. It's not an act of trying to manipulate God, because you can't manipulate God because He's big, right? And you're not. We're small, right? So we don't do that. We don't play those games or go there in our theology, right? So we don't manipulate God, but because we've been so affected by the love of God, we start to pursue Him. we start to pursue the purposes that we were created for. And as we're pursuing those purposes that we were created for, and as we're pursuing communion with Him, and as we're pursuing time in His presence, and as we're praying, and as we're on our knees, and as we're worshiping Him, because what else are we going to cheer for other than that we're saved, we're redeemed? Man, we're going to shout that out and cheer it as we let the name Jesus come into our lives and out of our mouths into our community. As we just start living this born-again, new creation kind of life, what happens? We start to see more of God. And as we see more of God, we start to say more of God, and we start to chase after more of God. And it's like this snowball effect starts to happen. We pursue, we see, we pursue. Oh my, I can't get enough of your presence. Anyway, that's a song too. Come on, it just happens, right? It's good. That's what God created us to be involved in. To be set apart. And as we pursue holiness, we begin to see Him in new ways. As we pursue the things of the world and all the entertainment and all the distractions, our vision of God gets dimmer. It gets dimmer. It gets dimmer. It gets darker. But as we engage with Him, and we engage with Him, and we go after Him, and we spend time with Him, our vision, our spiritual vision, gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. We're pursuing being set apart, and we're seeing more of Him. We're pursuing Him, and we're seeing more of Him. God doesn't play hide and seek with His church. He's not playing games with you. You seek, you will find. That's what Jesus promises. And that's a continual action. We're to continue seeking. And as we continue seeking, we will continue to find. We're going to walk around corners and go, bam! God's bigger. He's bigger. I've never seen Him that way. I love this. This is great. Okay. Then we're going to be those people that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 33, verse 17. Your eyes will see the King in His beauty and view a land that stretches afar. That's who we'll be as we pursue Him. Coming face to face with the holiness of God. That's our doorway to experiencing the beauty of His holiness. C.S. Lewis has this to say about holiness. He says, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it is irresistible.
Amen.
That's truth right there. That's a man who's walked it, who's seen it, who's experienced it. Finally, what happens when we pursue holiness? I want to hit these really quickly. What happens when we pursue holiness? God's power is released. Look at Jesus. He lived 30 years, perfect holy life, tempted in every way, yet was without sin. And after 30 years, He's launched into His earthly ministry. And what happens? Power is released. Power is released. He pursued holiness. He did what the Father told Him to do. And as a result, power was released. It's the same with us. As we pursue being set apart, the power of God gets released in us and through us. You want to see more miracles, more of God at work in you and through you? You want to see more Jesus kind of stuff happening? Pursue holiness, being set apart. The second thing that happens when we pursue holiness, God's radiance is revealed. His brightness, His light, His glory, His radiance is revealed when we pursue holiness. It says in Luke 11:36, therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted. And when the light of a lamp shines on you, His radiance revealed in us as we pursue being set apart unto Him. Because that's what holiness is. It's not a bunch of religious actions and rules. It's just setting ourselves apart for God. And that's what we were created for. The third thing that happens when we pursue holiness is God's kingdom brings revival. Purity comes before power, and holiness is the key that unlocks revival. We want revival in our lives. You want revival in your family. In your children, parents, pursue holiness. Pursue being set apart for God. It will release the power of God in you and through you, and things will change in your home. It will. You keep doing the same thing you're doing, you're going to get the same results. You don't like your results, pursue holiness. Set yourself apart for God and let God take over and watch what happens. You will not be disappointed in God kind of results. You won't be. You're going to love it and you're going to go back for more of it. Again, that snowball effect of doing life with God. God's kingdom brings revival, and that comes out of pursuing holiness. If you read about the Welsh revival, we talk about it periodically. They pursued holiness. The church pursued holiness, setting themselves apart for God, not trying to fit in with the culture, but fitting in with God. And revival was unleashed over an entire nation as a result. Look to the Word of God for the keys to revival in your life, in your family, and in our community. He has an economy. He has a way of working. And when we cooperate with that, we're going to see those kind of results. I want to conclude this morning with this story. During the late 1800s, an English evangelist named Henry Morehouse made several trips to preach in America. On one of those occasions, he was taking a walk through a poor section of town when he noticed a small boy coming out of a store with a pitcher of milk in his hands. Just then, the boy slipped and he fell, breaking the pitcher and spilling the milk all over the sidewalk. Morehouse rushed to the child's side. He found him unhurt but terrified. The little boy was saying, my mama will whip me. She'll whip me. So Morehouse picked up the boy. He carried him into the nearby store where the preacher purchased a new pitcher for him. He then took that new pitcher over to the dairy and got it filled up with fresh milk. With that done, the evangelist carried the boy and the pitcher home. He put the youngster down on his front porch. Morehouse handed him the pitcher and asked, "Will your mama whip you now?" "No, sir. No, sir, she won't whip me now. You see, this pitcher that you got me is a lot nicer than the pitcher that I broke. It's a whole lot nicer than what I left home with. No, no. She won't whip me." By God's grace, we've been saved. We've been redeemed. We were that pitcher that was dropped, that was broken in all those pieces. The milk of our lives, it was spilled all over the place. We were broken. And Jesus showed up on the scene. "Oh man, I've messed it up now. There's no chance for me." And he showed up and he picked me up. But he didn't just put me back together with some super glue or Gorilla Glue. He didn't do that to you either. Instead, when you allowed him to pick you up, he made you a whole new creation. You're not just a bunch of broken pieces put back together. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Perfect. Beautiful. Valuable. We look at our lives and we often think, "Well, I'm just plastic. I'm a piece of Tupperware." But that's not who you are in Christ Jesus. You are beautiful. You are silver. You are of great worth. You are a new creation formed in the hands of a holy, set apart, beautiful Creator God. That's who we are now. Set apart for Him. To glorify Him. To display His beauty. And to enjoy Him now and forever, and your mama won't whip you. God has made you new and beautiful. We are His workmanship. God has set us apart for Himself. I want to give us an opportunity to come before the Holy God this morning. I want us to allow Him to pour out His grace on us. Because if you're like me, there are areas of your life that are still dirty, tarnished. You need the Holy God to complete His work in an area of your life. Maybe there's an area of an emotion. There's an area of hurt, something you've believed from the past, a word spoken over you, a lie that you've internalized and made your own that needs to be released, that needs to be scrubbed out of you right now by His powerful grace. Something about your identity, you still think you're not good enough. That needs to be dealt with right now. So as we start to quietly sing this song, I want to invite you to come forward as an act of agreement to this word that God is holy, that He set apart, but the one who is set apart above all else has set you apart for relationship with Him, to walk with Him, to know Him, to enjoy Him. God, we come to You this morning. Those of us up here, we're serious. We're not wanting to settle anymore, Lord. I'm standing here with my brothers and sisters off the stage right now because I'm joining them. I want all You have for me, God. I don't want the enemy to be able to mess with me anymore. I've been set apart. We've been set apart, all of us. We've been set apart for Your glory, for Your goodness, for Your blessing, God. So, Lord, we're coming to You right now saying, have Your way with us. Move in us. In Jesus' name, we even right now, we take authority over every wrong thought, over every evil lie spoken over us and into us. And we cast it off in Jesus' name. For we've been set apart unto the holy God. Made holy, for He is holy. God, we give You our lives, our relationships, our marriages, our families, Lord God. We give them to You. They're set apart for You, God. We hand them over to You. We dedicate them to You right now. We rededicate them to You, God. Take us, have us.
Take this life and breathe on. This heart is now Yours.
God, we give it to You.
Have it all.
Because You're good.
You can have it all.
What else can we do? Where else can we go?
Oh, God.
You are God.
Every part of
my
world.
We come to You right now. We come to You right now, God.
Take this life and breathe on.
Oh God, breathe on us,
yes, heart, it is now Yours.
You're good, God. We come into the light.
You can have it all, Lord.
We surrender.
Every part. Every part of my world.
Thank You, Jesus.
Take this life and breathe on. This heart, it is now Yours. It is now Yours.
We're going to close at this time. If you have any need, you can just stay up here, folks, if you want to. If you have any need you want to bring before the Lord, I invite you to come and bring it to Him. We're going to have our ministry, our prayer ministry team up here to pray with you and for you. He's big. He's big and He's able. And He loves you. Bring it to the Lord today. Whatever it is, bring it to Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not experienced being made new again, if you haven't experienced His grace, today's the day of salvation for you, of newness. To exchange the old for the new. To come into agreement with why God created you. I invite you to come forward and share with one of our ministry prayer leaders. Just if you all would stand right here, ministry team in the middle. And just share with one of them. I'm ready for new life. I'm ready to exchange the old. I've been the broken pitcher. I'm ready to be made new again. You just share that with one. Then they'll pray with you. And you will find yourself alive in Christ. A beautiful new life. May the Lord bless you and keep you, church. Go out and be His witnesses. Go out and share Jesus. Speak His name. The world needs what you have. Give them Jesus. God bless you.